On today's Compassion Radio.
We have to have a compassionate heart. In fact, I would go so far as to say our heart needs to break over these places in the world where the gospel's never been, just as much as it breaks for maybe an uncle or a parent or maybe even a spouse that has refused Jesus, a hard heart, right? And our heart breaks for them. In the same way, we need to have compassion for those around the world that don't have access to the gospel. The body of Christ really needs to equip itself from a mental standpoint of what is the condition of the harvest.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Radio Journal, what God's people are up to all across God's green earth. Yesterday we started an important conversation with Greg Kelly, president of World Mission in Grand Rapids, Michigan. From this quiet corner of the American heartland, Great Commission work has been exploding in the 21st century, and World Mission is at the heart of it. As one of the world's leading orality missions projects, they're uniting and equipping a new generation of evangelists and faith leaders across much of the 1040 window to reach the billions who have still never heard the name of Jesus, even after two millennia of effort. They're making tremendous headway using the latest technologies and the oldest communication method known to mankind, telling the greatest story in the most compelling way possible. If you missed any of yesterday's broadcast, be sure to stop by CompassionRadio.com for a listen. We'll start today's program with a short recap of yesterday. During our travels, you and I talked some about the importance of the different prongs of gospel work in action, that there has to be the gospel by hands and feet as well as by lips and ears. And so you had a very strong presence within the comprehension, the knowledge, the spread of the gospel story. But you also had relationships with those who spread the gospel through works of kindness and compassion that physically save lives or heal after war and trauma. And you can't get far away from both those things, because as you mentioned today, Greg, those things are often caused by each other. As disaster happens, people's hearts are crushed. They're now open to things they never would have considered before because they're weak. They actually have to call out to somebody and to a God they've never known before in order to survive the next day. So as cruel as it seems, it's also an opportunity for God's compassion to really enter in. It seems like you're actually getting more hands-on in that very side of gospel work now because of the needs you're seeing close up.
Yeah.
I've guessed, too, that your relationships with them, because they trust you and they've heard your story and they've brought that story close to their hearts and they've seen their lives transformed, makes them more trusting of your ability to guide and help them through these times of trial.
I would say that is absolutely correct. The issue of the hands and feet of Jesus and then the gospel proclamation go in tandem. They go hand in hand. And when you have a presence, our model is a network of national leaders from West Africa to the Philippines. We have about 30 networks that cover that entire landmass. And so when you go in there and you have nationals that are living in the communities among the people, building relationship, it really comes back to the basics, Bram, of friendship evangelism. And I'm reminded of the greatest revival documented in the New Testament had three players to it. It had Philip, who was the evangelist.
Yep.
It had the Holy Spirit and the Word of God.
Yes.
And those three elements sparked what became the great revival that not only was in Samaria, but then in Ethiopia with the Ethiopian eunuch coming to know Jesus. And it was that dynamic of relationship, Philip being led by the Holy Spirit to intersect his life with the Ethiopian eunuch, and then the knowledge of the Word of God that triggered that great revival. So it's through relationship. At the end of the day, technology we love. We're leveraging technology in all forms, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we have to be fully invested in humanity intersecting with humanity. That is how the gospel is spread. And so for us, these national networks are everything. And because they have those relationships, we hear stories all the time of those being persecuted now being the ones who are sharing the good news with the one persecuting them.
Yeah.
It's going on right now in Central Africa Republic, as an example, one of the worst climates in the world today. Bangui, the capital, is literally surrounded by 13 Muslim radical groups of terrorists, essentially, that are choking off the capital of Bangui, which the CAR is led by a Christian president right now. We should all be praying for that, brother. But in the midst of the Christians who are hunkered down in Bangui, surrounded by their persecutors, they're asking us for Arabic audio Bibles so they can go minister to the people that are trying to kill them.
Yeah.
It just confounds logic. I mean, you can't process that.
Maybe common sense, but
is the gospel.
There's nothing common about God's plan for reaching people, but I think there's always going to be that I would lay down my life for you. It's a disarming message.
Yes.
And when you are personally willing to step out there and say, this has transformed my life so much that I am fully alive, even if you slay me, I win.
Yes.
We've seen that kind of attitude and eye on heaven, and a gleam in people's eyes, because that story is so alive in them. They've been liberated from fear, which I think is the biggest thing. So if I was going to pivot back the zeitgeist of our Western societies, from Europe on through the Americas, if I would have put one word on the past year, it would be the unease that comes from unknowable fears. We have been suffering from that kind of fear, and I think suffering is a good word for it. But it's also something we have a whole lot more of a say in than we would have if we had just been persecuted by a specific group. Because you can't put a target on an enemy that's microscopic. You have to find a way to work together to deal with it and be brave in facing that kind of threat. But we are feeling on the existential level what it means to be threatened. And that unease does not go away easily. So I would say you've seen it from the outside looking back at America as you travel the world, as you work with your national leaders in all these countries. You've got a unique perspective, Greg, on us, our family, our tribe. When you look back on America from having been in and out so many times and the kind of emotional and mental pressures and stresses that we've been experiencing, what would you say to us all at this time?
Yeah, I think that largely we all have our share of challenges and difficulty. You were kind enough to interview my wife and I, Kathy, a few years ago on Compassion Radio for the audience to just get to know who we are. And then we shared the story of our daughter, who's 22 years old, who's never spoken a word in her life, and God created her unique. And, you know, that's our difficulty, our challenge. And we all have things. We all have difficulty and challenges, and we learn through that. I think as a whole, that being said, we have it pretty easy here in the West. And in a lot of instances, we just don't do adversity well.
Yeah.
And internationally, what they would see as a speed bump, we might see as an utter catastrophe that our world, you know, begins to unravel. I think the opportunity through all this in the West, I would say, is for us to maybe get things in order a little bit and have the first thing becoming the first thing, and and recognizing that there's a lot of things in our life that at the end, when all is said and done, really aren't that important. And as people have lost things, with people have been taking financial hits, and obviously we've all known someone who either had COVID or, God forbid, has died of it, and all those things are difficulties. But I think when this temporary world that we're all passing through, the Bible said, is like a mist. And I think God really is trying to get our attention and say, hey, as I'm at the center of it, I will help you through adversity, challenges. There's nothing you can't deal with. But as you glorify me in the midst of your adversity, I will be glorified to the nations and people will be drawn to me. That is the gospel. And so I think for all of us, we've had that opportunity. To what extent we've handled that and dealt with it is a different story. But I know in my travels around the world, I'm inspired because everywhere I go, I see that. And I think we're really soft here because I've never met anyone in America who was living in a different home one night after another for threat of their life because there was a bounty on their head, which is a guy I met in Somalia a few months ago. So those are the kind of things we just don't know anything about. And I think for us to have a little bit of adversity is good. And our walk with Christ to really maybe make him more of a priority.
I'll hold you there to make sure people don't misunderstand what you're getting at here, because this is not a comparison game. We're not trying to make ourselves more spiritually aware and sensitive by comparing ourselves to the suffering of others, and therefore lower ourselves by force in our own minds. Our sufferings are our own sufferings, and within the context of our culture, they may be great compared to what we've experienced before. But I don't want to be necessarily just compassionate for others because they're worse off than me in my own mind. Because what happens, Greg, I find a lot of people start praying to God, telling God how he should feel about how we experience things. And we don't go to him first and say, look, I don't have the perspective you have, God. What do I need to see about my situation here so I can see it better? What do I need to see about the people you love overseas so I can pray for them the way you would have me pray? That's a total paradigm shift when we start from that perspective saying, I don't have enough to really know well. But you do, Lord. If you would be so good, could you bring me into an understanding and experience so I get what you're up to? Because I want to be part of that. When we start praying those kind of prayers, we start finding ourselves on the front lines all of a sudden, because now ideas are coming into our minds. Emotions are coming into our hearts that resonate with the Spirit of God, and we don't even realize that we've made the shift. So I don't want to be just about comparing ourselves. I know you're not either. But it is really important, too, to take inventory, like you're saying, that if I really put myself on the altar here and say, am I really that bad off? Well, probably not. So what is it that I am missing? And then asking God to search our hearts to find that. We'll find it, because God promises us he'll have the kind of insight and wisdom discernment if we just ask for it, like James says. Mm-hmm. So, what are you asking God for now, Greg?
Well, in the Beatitudes, Jesus says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. Mm. And I think the hunger that all of us need to strive for, whether we're here, whether we're in Somalia, is the same hunger.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Sometimes our eyes can confuse us, Bram.
We
look at
can.
Either our excess or our lack in the physical realm and mm-hmm. of the stuff, and we make the judgment. Oh my gosh, either, you know, sort of rank ourselves. Well, they're super needy or they have a lot. Mm-hmm. Instead of looking at the hunger from a standpoint of what God would say, mm-hmm. how much do you hunger for me?
Yeah.
Well, tell me about what's your appetite for the things that I care about? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added.
The teams and the in-country partners of World Mission personally meet with the people that need Jesus right where they live and serve them in practical ways. It's not just a pump-and-dump operation where you check off another people group just because you spent 5 minutes driving through. These folks are committed to the thorough transformation of individuals, communities, and nations through the power of the incomparable Word of God. I'll get back to our conversation right after this important info, and I want you to give it just as much attention because it's about how this partnership happens. And if we ignore it, there is no future for a partnership like this. Today, I'm reminded of an interesting detail I learned years ago about the Chinese language symbol for the word crisis. It's a contraction of two symbols that stand for danger and opportunity. I find that fascinating. Folded into one word are deep implications for the situation that we find ourselves in today. The world is in shock right now. As people of faith, we have a real opportunity to face that crisis and seize the opportunity to trust God and to make Jesus known. I'm convinced that true compassion has real power when it's rooted in the truth of God's presence and promises. For 78 years now, Compassion Radio partners like you have absolutely been up to the challenge. Will you help us get ready for the next big faith challenges and opportunities of 2021? Your gift today will provide the means for us to begin some new initiatives with our Bible and relief partners that reach farther than we've ever gone before. It begins with you and your brave investment in kingdom communication and kingdom action. On our Monday broadcasts, we've been highlighting the book of John and our special edition of that dynamic gospel. It's our special thank you for your support of Compassion Radio in this critically important time. I'd love to send you a copy today. Just let us know you'd like one when you give online, by phone, or by postal mail. Here's how. The first and best way to reach us is through our website, CompassionRadio.com. It's available 24/7. Our safe and secure order form there will get your gift to the places needed most, and we'll do it right away. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478.
You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are. Of course, you can also put a stamp on an envelope and mail your gift to our Compassion Radio office, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. However you give, we'd love to hear more about why you believe in Compassion Radio. We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way.
Mm-hmm. Instead of looking at the hunger from a standpoint of what God would say, mm-hmm. how much do you hunger for me?
Yeah.
Well, tell me about what's your appetite for the things that I care about? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Well, what are the things? I think it's, you know, peace in our heart. It's love for one another. Those are the kind of things that we all need to strive after. And as we do, you know, not only do we get a greater love for our neighbor, but also that heart and that compassion for these places around the world will naturally follow, be a witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. But every time I read that verse, Bram, I'm struck by the notion that our God is not a sequential God. He's a simultaneous God. And so I could love my neighbor with the capacity of which I've hungered and thirst for him in the same way I can love the guy in Somalia or the guy in Irian Jaya who doesn't have access to the gospel.
Yeah.
That allows us to be effective for the things that matter to God. At the same time, you know, we don't have to be in Irian Jaya. We don't have to be in Somalia. He asked us to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth the laborers. That doesn't require my physical presence anywhere.
Yeah.
But it requires my knowledge of the condition of the harvest field.
Yeah.
If I don't know some of these nations that Jesus died for that are Bram, there's 160 million sheikh people. It's the largest unreached people group in the world in the country of Bangladesh that are 0.00% Christian.
Hmm.
If I'm going to the Lord of the harvest.
And very concentrated.
Very concentrated. I mean, Bangladesh is the size of Michigan or Iowa that have, say, 10 million people. And Bangladesh, that same size, has 160 million. So you're talking about a massive concentration of people. But if I'm going to the Lord of the harvest and I don't have knowledge of who the sheikh people are, it's hard for me to call upon my Heavenly Father to send forth laborers into a harvest field I know nothing of. So all those things come together, the love, the knowledge, and then activating our prayers in such a way that, yes, I care for my next-door neighbor, and I serve the simultaneously God who said, and the ends of the earth, so I can be lifting up these nations to him. That's our opportunity, brother, right now, as we're participating in his vast work.
Some of the people that we read about that had those great missional adventures of the 19th and early 20th centuries, we read about them having visions of people they've never met or hearing a tongue spoken they've never heard. And they speak about it. They actually proclaim it, saying, this is a word from God. I don't know what it means, but he's opening a door for me. And then they end up on the mission field and, by way of circumstances, encountering that scene they dreamt of, that God dropped eternity in their hearts and said, this is where I will have you. And so for God, it's in the immediate. It's now. When he calls us, it's our future, but it's his now. And I think, too, about those people. They don't just have those visions because they sat around doing a mundane job and not thinking about important things. These are people of prayer. These are people that invested themselves and trusted that God would show them the way to make the most impact, to invest and find a higher return for their investment in the kingdom over the years, even at the cost of their lives if necessary. But they prayed that way. And you see that kind of prayer ethic in the people that you have ministered to on the field as well.
Mm.
How does that translate now, my friend, into the way we should be praying or reaching out to God and expecting God to answer our prayers?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, praying for the harvest fields that we've never been to or never will go to is paramount to the Great Commission being fulfilled. I can remember the day I got saved, Bram. This principle was seated in my life as I was a 20-year-old knucklehead. Fortunately, my now wife, who was my girlfriend, was missionary dating, and the Lord used her to get me into a church. I am so thankful as well. You know, as she got me into this church, as the net of the gospel was shared, walked down to receive Christ. And when I turned around, Bram, I'll never forget, because I saw ladies I had never met that Kathy had just met sharing the story of what was going on, how I had just come to Christ. And they were crying. They were crying for me. And I really feel like the Lord imparted that seed right in my first day as his follower, as a seed that would prepare me to lead here at World Mission. And it's this principle. We have to have a compassionate heart. In fact, I would go so far as to say our heart needs to break over these places in the world where the gospel's never been, just as much as it breaks for maybe an uncle or a parent or maybe even a spouse that has refused Jesus, a hard heart, right? And our heart breaks for them. In the same way, we need to have compassion for those around the world that don't have access to the gospel. The body of Christ really needs to equip itself from a mental standpoint of what is the condition of the harvest. You know, there's a lot of things that are high water marks in missions today. We're sending more missionaries than any time in history. We are sending more Bibles than any time in history. We are sending more resources than any time in history. There's more people with a strategy to how do we complete the Great Commission. And at the same time, we have access to more data than any time in history. And I'm just afraid that we're not taking advantage of that. 100 years ago, as you pointed out, the missionaries who went, they took all their belongings in a casket because it was a one-way trip.
Yeah.
And every person they encountered had not heard the gospel.
Yeah.
And we have amazing stories in sub-Saharan Africa of going from 0%. You know, sub-Saharan Africa is more Christian than Colorado Springs or Oklahoma or Grand Rapids, Michigan today.
Indeed.
And it's because of the sacrifice, right?
Yeah.
But the data tells us there's all kinds of these nations or people groups without access, but by and large, the body of Christ is not equipped and has not sought out the understanding of that. And until we do, we're going to have some prayers that maybe could be even more effective as we inserted the name the Sheikh, as we inserted the name the Hausa or the Fulani or the Somalis or whatever, as we're calling out to the Lord of the harvest.
Well, so we're calling out those names as we get taught and as we learn them. How do you educate people over here about the people groups that God has put on your radar?
You know, I think it starts with just the understanding of why that's important, because I think historically the way we've done missions is based upon country.
Mm-hmm.
So we've said, I'm a missionary to Bangladesh, I'm going on a short-term mission trip to Kenya, etc. And that obviously gives us a proximity of the where, but Jesus didn't call us to make disciples of all countries.
Mm-hmm.
He called us to make disciples of all nations, which is, of
peoples.
Course, as you so frequently speak about, the people groups, the ethne of the world. And within the 195 countries, there are over 17,000 nations.
Yeah.
So before we can really talk about the nations, we need to first cross that understanding of country versus people group. And now, once we have that understanding, now we can go to resources like the Joshua Project, which is an amazing resource where people can see any one of the people groups of the earth and how many people are within them and how many Christians, how many Hindus, how many Muslims, everything. So you have that information. And then as we get that, now we can start praying with clarity and intentionality and direction, naming out those nations that are yet without a gospel witness.
The next part of this powerful interview with Greg Kelly of World Mission is coming up tomorrow, so I hope you'll tune in then. In the meantime, check them out at worldmission.cc.
I find no hope within to call my own, for I am frail of heart, my strength is gone. But deep within my soul is rising up a song. Here in the comfort of the faithful one, I walk a narrow road through valleys deep, in search of higher ground on mountain steep. And though with feet unsure, I still keep pressing on, for I am guided by the faithful one, faithful,
Thanks for supporting us with your gift. Simply go to our website, CompassionRadio.com. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. You can also send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you, friends. Join us for the next Compassion Radio or online at CompassionRadio.com.